Praise the Lord. Good. Recorder is on. Praise God. It is a beautiful day here in northern Vermont, February 21st, 2021. It is sunny. Shoveled a path through my yard yesterday, so I know that even with the melting and other things that have happened, I still have about 16 inches of snow. We're going to do things a little bit different today. Maybe. I think we're doing things a little bit different, but we'll see how it goes. I want to greet everyone listening online. Hopefully when Rich puts the message up, he includes the picture. The picture is two sides of a tapestry done by Corrie Ten Boom. Those of you who don't know, Corrie Ten Boom was one of the people rescued from a concentration camp in World War II. And God maintained her and kept her through it, even though her sister died in the concentration camp. And also brought her to the place of forgiveness, so that as she was giving a speech one day, one of the people in the audience who came up and asked for forgiveness had been one of the guards who had treated her so badly in the concentration camp, who had since come to know the Lord. And the picture is of a crown. It's a tapestry. On one side it's a crown with lots of stars. And on the other side is a tangled mess. Obviously, Corrie Ten Boom did not take the great care in cross stitch that my wife does, because the back of Debbie's cross stitch, all the threads are tucked in and they're all straight and not quite the same as the picture on the front side, but still looks very nice. This is just a tangled mess. And except for the outline of the crown, there is no way you could tell what's in it, with the possible exceptions of some of the colors. So the message is behind the scenes. And sometimes when we look at life, we'll only see, like on this crown, one of the little stars or one of the little pieces. But most of the time when we look at our lives, all we see is a tangled mess. The other side. But I want to let you know that God is working behind the scenes in your life, just as God's working behind the scenes in my life, each and every one of us. And I can't really go through every scenario, but I just want you to keep that in mind overall, that God is working behind the scenes. God is doing things that we don't understand. God is tying things together. God is making connections. And sometimes all we see is a little bit of a finished picture. And sometimes all we see is a tangled mess that doesn't look like it has any coherence to it at all. But God is at work. And I want to go into the scriptures and I want to show you an example of God setting things up behind the scenes, so that you can know that God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, God who never changes, as He's worked that way in this situation, He's also working that same way in your life and in your situation, even when we don't see it and don't understand it. So I want to start with Galatians 4, beginning with verse 4. That says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So it says in Galatians that God did all this to bring us to the point that we become adopted into the household of God. Amen. Everything that He had laid out up to that point, the fullness of time, Jesus coming into the world, the things that Jesus did while on this earth, the suffering that He went through, the crucifixion, the raising again from the dead, was for the purpose of making a way to restore, to bring us into the adoption of sons, the adoption of daughters, the adoption of children and heirs of God. was the whole purpose for everything that's there. You can go back into Genesis, into the Garden of Eden, and God gives a prophecy that the seed of the woman is coming and will bruise the head of the serpent. All the way back into the Garden of Eden, there's prophecies of Jesus. All through the Old Testament is prophecies of Jesus. That Shiloh is coming, that peace is coming. Melchizedek being a type and a shadow of Christ. That God himself shall prepare or provide the sacrifice is what Abraham told Isaac. So all of these things going on in Scripture, all this prophecy leaning up to what God had in mind, and what God had in mind even in Jesus to work to bring us away into the throne of grace, to make that provision, to come through the blood of the Lamb, to come boldly before the throne of grace, to find grace to help in time of need. Okay? So that's bringing that up to that. Now I'm telling you once again, God is working behind the scenes in your life. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. And Judah begot Perez and Tamar, and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. So as we've just gone through this little couple of verses right here, these six verses right here, we find three women mentioned: Tamar, Ruth, and, well, sort of mentioned, her who had been the wife of Uriah. We know that was Bathsheba. But just in that genealogy, we have three women, four. Four, yeah. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and then her who had been the wife of Uriah. And all of them have their own stories. But I want to talk about Ruth. I want to bring out some things about Ruth, how Ruth fits in as evidence of God working behind the scenes. And back in Genesis 19, starting with verse 36, says, set it up a little bit. Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plain have just been destroyed because of their wickedness. Lot and his wife and his two daughters are led out by the angels. Lot's wife looks back. She gets turned into a pillar of salt. Lot and his daughters get brought up to a cave. The daughters say, now there's no man left on the earth for us. Our father's line will end right here. And they decide to get their father drunk and sleep with him. So we have coming out of wickedness, we have incest, we have drunk and out of control. Verse 36, thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. And he is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. Moab means from the father. Ben-Ammi is son of my father, is what the names mean. So here we have the situation where the Moabites and the Ammonites, both of them, have come from Lot via incest, via drunkenness, after leaving the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. But that's where the Moabites come from. Down and jump to Deuteronomy 2, beginning with verse 8, talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. They've been wandered around for 40 years, and they're starting to head toward the promised land. Verse 8 says, when we passed beyond our brethren, the descendants of Esau who dwell in Seir, away toward the road of the plain, away from Elath and Ezion Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. Then the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given it to Ar, to the descendants of Lot, as a possession. So even though the people of Moab and the people of Ammon had come from this incest and this drunkenness, God had still put a blessing on them, and God still had his protection on them, and God still said, I've got a use for you. I've told the children of Israel, don't harass them in battle. Don't mess with it. I'm not going to give you any of their land. I have already given it to them. God had that blessing even on Lot, even after the sin and the wickedness, even after Lot and his servants had the argument with Abraham and their servants, and Abraham finally said, let's not fight. We're brethren. You pick a side. Whichever way you want to go, fine, I'll go the other way. And Lot looked and saw that the cities of the plain, how it was green and everything was rich and it was wonderful. And he looked at the mountains and said, not so much. So he said, I'll take the good land, and left everything else for Abraham. Even that selfishness, God said, I still have my hand in the circumstances. Let's go back to the picture on the front of the bulletin and look at that backside of that tapestry. It looks like just a knotted up mess, how nothing is, it looks like nothing's connected to anything, and there's no way, like I said, except for the outline and maybe some of the colors involved, to have an idea of what the picture is. No way to look at the back and tell how things are connected. It looks like just a jumbled up mess. But just as that tapestry has a beautiful picture on the other side, God is putting together a beautiful picture. And like I said, sometimes we may just see a little bit of it, and sometimes we may just see a jumbled up mess. But God is still at work. Back to Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verses 3 and 4. Now this is after children of Israel were told to go by Moab and not mess with them, go by Ammon and not mess with them. But the Moabites and the Ammonites came out against them. They weren't as gracious as they should have been. They weren't as neighborly. They weren't as friendly. They didn't hear from God that says, oh, don't mess with the children of Abraham because I put a blessing on them. Even though they knew that, because Balaam told them that. But they still decided to come out and cause problems. So here in Deuteronomy 23, verse 3, it says, an Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. So God said, the Moabite and the Ammonite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. And then farther on in there, it says, forever. They're not going to be part of you. They can't ever come in. So here we had the people that God has already put a blessing on. Said, I've given them this land, I've blessed them, but they've come out against you, so they will never enter into your congregation. In Deuteronomy 25, we find an interesting situation here. Deuteronomy 25, beginning with verse 5, says, if brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him for wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. Excuse me. And if a man like not his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate of the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak to him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then he shall take his, then shall his brother's wife come to him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto the man that will not build up a house, build up his brother's house. So this is in Deuteronomy. This is in the Pentateuch. This is in the law of Moses set down. Said, if the man dies without a child, that the wife can't go out, you know, to a stranger, become a stranger's wife, that the family to be built up, the brother will go in, or the near kinsman will go in to raise up seed unto that family, so that name, that household will not be stricken from the rolls of Israel. I'm really going someplace, folks. This is the knot on the back of the bulletin. This is all how the convoluted things are tied together. How in the world does all this fit together? Here's how it fits together. Ruth, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, come aside, friend, and sit down here. So he came aside and sat down. Then he took him 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold a piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one to redeem it, no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Verse 5. Then Boaz says, on the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. And the close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom of the former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, a man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the confirmation in Israel. Therefore the close relative of Boaz said, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal, and Boaz said to the elders of all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, and that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. And the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. For 10 generations, a Moabite could not come into the congregation of Israel. But the widow of a dead Israelite could be redeemed by a kinsman redeemer. There was a provision in there to bring this widow into the generation. Even though a Moabite couldn't come in, God had set that in place. And here we have Ruth, who becomes the mother of Obed, who becomes the mother of Jesse, who becomes, or the father of, become, Ruth, gave birth to Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. Into the genealogy of Jesus. Now, if we're not going to go all the way back there, but back when we were doing the genealogies, there was not 10 generations between when they came back into the land of Israel, when they came into the promised land to Ruth showing up. It wasn't 10 generations. But God had made that provision. That the people of Moab, where'd they come from? Drunken incest. But God still used the drunken incest because he had a plan and a purpose in mind. God sees the end from the beginning. God knew all of these steps. Let's go back we're not going to flip back to it. But Tamar, who became a wife to Judah after having pretended to be a harlot, because Judah was not righteous in what he'd done. Judah's son married Tamar, and he died. He displeased the Lord. The Lord killed him. The next son came, and rather than say, "Oh, I don't want to do it," he took her to wife, but he would not give her a child. Not going into the details there, but he displeased the Lord in the process, and God killed him too. And Judah says, "I have another son, but he's too young. Go wait in your father's house, and when he is old enough, I'll send him to be your husband." And he didn't do it. So Tamar knew about this, found out about this, and knew where Judah was going to be shearing sheep, and went and pretended to be a harlot. And Judah went in and visited him. And she took a staff and a ring, I believe it was, took two items to as a pledge, and then she disappeared. And then later word came to him, "Hey, your daughter-in-law is pregnant." So he was going to go and deal with the infidelity, only to find out that he was the one. That infidelity was all in the plan. Rahab, the harlot, is in the genealogy of Jesus. Ruth, the Moabitess, who could not come into the congregation for 10 generations, is in the genealogy of Jesus. Bathsheba, who was another one's wife, and the sin of David in with Bathsheba, is in the genealogy of Jesus. Manasseh, who is known as the worst king ever, is in the genealogy of Jesus. Sometimes we look and all we see is a twisted up mess that nothing seems to make sense. But I guarantee you, even in the midst of a twisted up mess, the sovereign Lord of the universe, who has us engraved in the palm of his hands, is at work in the circumstances, behind the scenes, making something beautiful. Glory. He is doing great and wondrous things in our life. I just went through a little bit about Ruth. But all of these people have stories, just as each and every one of us has stories of what God has brought us through. And we have not yet reached the pinnacle of what God has in mind. We have not yet reached the culmination of everything God is doing in us. We have not yet reached, because we're still drawing breath. We're still drawing breath. God is still at work. He's still at work in our circumstances. Maybe you lost a job and it seemed like everything had fallen apart, but God had something else in mind. Maybe you went through a divorce. Bad one. Been there, done that. God had something else in mind. Maybe you have a sickness or a condition or whatever. God is still at work as long as we are breathing air, as long as we are upright, as long as we are going through this life that he has given us. God is not yet finished with us. We can look back in Scripture. Scripture tells us in Timothy that all Scripture, 1 Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is useful in instruction in righteousness. God is teaching us throughout all of Scripture. And we go through and we can pick out little jewels like this. We can follow little threads like this. How in the world did you get to have a Moabitess in the genealogy of Jesus? Well, first you had to have Lot getting in an argument with Abraham. And they had to separate. Well, how did Lot get there? Well, Lot had to follow Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. Way back when. You're following him along, running with him, hanging out with his uncle. Everything is cool. Until things weren't so cool anymore. Abraham had to go rescue Lot after the six kings versus the five kings. All I remember is title King of Nations. That's the one I remember. And he was one of the bad guys. But they came and, you know, you had these armies that come up against the cities of the plain, which is now where the Dead Sea is, by the way. That fire and brimstone falling from heaven that plain is no longer fertile until God redeems that as well. Because that's also prophesied in Scripture. God working all the way back at the beginning, working through the circumstances, working behind the scenes, pulling things together, putting things in place so that there would be Moabites. And in giving them the option of being blessed and choosing against it, he knew about their choice. Knew about it. And yet still, even those bad decisions, even that turmoil, even that conflict was still God working it together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Doesn't matter what has gone on in your life. Doesn't matter what hardship we face. God is still God. God is still on the throne and God is still at work. And we can trust him and rely upon him. It's very easy to look at our circumstances and just throw up our hands. Want to quit, want to give up. But that's not what we're allowed to do. We are to give praise. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, concerning me, concerning all of us. God is worthy of our praise no matter what our circumstances are, because God is at work in our lives no matter what the circumstances look like. He is God over all, and he is worthy of our praise. We look back over our lives and we see some of the turmoil, and we see some of the pain, we see some of the things we've gone through. Maybe we can look back over our lives and see a little star that's going to be part of this crown. Or maybe we look back over our lives and see nothing but a jumbled up mess. But no matter what our perspective is, no matter what we see, we can look back over Scripture and see how God has worked at the past and know that he is the God who does not change, and have faith and confidence that he who began the good work in us is faithful to complete it, that God is doing something wondrous in our lives. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things the Lord has prepared for them who love him. He is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are the one who guides us and leads us, that you are the one, Father, who directs our steps, that you are the one, Father, who is at work in our lives. And we thank you, Father, that even when we don't see an answer, even when we don't understand the things that are going on, we have faith. We have assurance that you are doing wondrous things, that you are still at work. You are the one who causes us to stand. You are the one who directs our steps. You are the one who keeps our feet from falling. And we give thanks for that, Lord. We give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.